Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Good morning. God's good, amen. I'm going to preach on the person of the Holy Spirit this morning. Might take me a couple weeks to get through this. It really could take 6 months to get through this, honestly, but I try to condense it down a little bit. But the person of the Holy Spirit and who he is, not what he is, but who he is. And he is the third person of the Godhead, Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what it means when people say we're Trinity people. We believe in the Trinity. There are some that don't, but that's okay. he's fully equal with God. He's God the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that brooded over the face of the deep when God was in the midst of creating everything that we know about this earth. And so he is far from an impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is a distinct person with intellect, emotions, and a will. He has a will. God has a will. How many know that? Have you ever prayed, God, your will be done? Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, and let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And so he is the person that indwells believers. He comforts believers. And we all know that at many times, especially in times in funerals, when we've buried someone that we love dearly, and if they're saved and you're saved, you can clearly understand the scripture that Paul said, we do not grieve as those that have no hope. That's right. I've been to so many funerals where I don't judge people. I don't put them in heaven. I don't put them in hell. But their lifestyle would suggest that they didn't know anything about the Lord, or they never accepted Christ. I'll say that. I've been to some where they'd put a fifth of whiskey in there, and it's hard for me to stay in that atmosphere. But there's a need there. And there's people there that need ministered to, and I've seen people just kind of go by those caskets and cry and scream and bawl, "Oh, Mama, or Daddy, I'm sorry. I wished I had it back, and I could apologize and make things right." Well, you got to do that while you're alive. If it's possible, some people I understand won't let you settle it. They want to hold on to it. But you do your part, and then it's off of you. And so those of us that pass by the casket of a loved one that we know that are in the paradise of God, according to God's word and the life they lived, then the Holy Spirit truly is a comforter in that hour. It's where you could walk by, like I did my mother's casket, and say, "Father, thank you for her life, and that she didn't just tell us about Jesus. She loaded us up and took us to church from the time we were in the cradle, actually, until we left out from under her care, took us to church. Thank you, Lord, that another saint of God has come home." And in everything he said, give thanks. And in that moment and in that peace and the knowledge of knowing that, God, the Holy Spirit, gives us comfort. He also convicts us. He tells us. He put a conscience in every man, woman, boy, and girl, and to know right from wrong. And then in his word, he says, he that knoweth to do good. Once you've become saved and you intentionally do something wrong, there or something you know you shouldn't do. I'm not even going to call it right or wrong. I'm just going to say the Holy Spirit then convicts you. We've all done that. We've always like, "Oh Lord," but there's a recovery for that. And 1 John tells us that if we ask Him to forgive us of our sin, He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts you as a father convicts or talks to you about indiscretion or when you've missed the mark somehow. And it's correction. But it's a righteous correction. It's a holy correction. My father, my biological father, corrected me. My mother corrected me. I might get sore for a while about something, but I didn't hate them. I didn't get mad at them. I didn't quit them and leave the family. And so many times when the Holy Spirit convicts people in church, and sometimes it'll come through a message, and I never preach to personalities. I can lift my hand to God on that. I don't do that. Try to preach the Word of God and let God's Word do this. If God's Word does this, you'll be okay with it. If God's Word does it for me, I'll be okay with it. It's like it may be an ouch moment, but it's like if God's Word does it. But if I'm just pounding a pulpit like I've got an attitude about something, whatever that is, then it's wrong for me to do that. But if God's Word does it, if the Holy Spirit does it, it's what I'm trying to say, because He's such a gentleman. He's such a gentleman. He'll open the door for you. He'll open the door for the bride and wait for her to be seated. He's a gentleman. So He convicts, He teaches us, and He guides believers in truth. So when God does these things, when the Holy Spirit does it, comforts, convicts, teaches, usually out of the conviction comes a teaching moment. And if we're open to that, and we have an attitude of he that has an ear, let him hear. Or if you have the mindset to pay attention to the Father, if you have a mindset to be pleasing to your Father. How many men here, and not everybody had my kind of upbringing, I understand that. But how many men here wanted to honor your father in everything you did? Anybody, any hands at all? Let me see them hands. Yeah. You wanted to honor your father. Why? Because he was your father. And if your father was like mine and he was a disciplinarian, wasn't mean about it, he was just strict. There was not gray areas. It was yes and it was no. There was no in between. There was no, I think I'll count to 10. No, there was none of that. And if you parent that way, good for you. I'm just saying in our house it didn't happen that way. It was just yes or no. And if you slipped around after he said no and asked your mom, and your mom said yes, okay, you had a problem. Anybody else have that issue? So you couldn't play them against each other. Well, you can't play God either. You can't play God against the Holy Spirit. You can't play the Holy Spirit against Jesus, because they are unified. Amen. And they unify the church. The unifying force in the church that makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember back in the day when everybody was brother whatever, Brother Smith and Sister Jones and all of that? Was because they greeted each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, that's great. We don't have to do that. It's whatever you want to call it, maybe a formality, I don't know. But it really was a matter of respect. As saying, Brother Johnson, Sister Johnson, and it's just connecting who we are in Christ, because we're all connected by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're all brothers and sisters, and we're all members of one body. Could we never forget that? All of you and all of us are connected, and we're brothers and sisters in Christ. That is possible because of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ. So it is the Holy Spirit that convicts you and brings you to the Lord. In John 16, let me just give you some scripture here. John 16, I'm also going to be in Isaiah 40 and then Matthew chapter 3. But in John 16, he says, Jesus saying, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide believers into all truth. Not speaking of his own authority. Now listen to this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, equal. Equal. But Jesus is saying when the Holy Spirit comes, as he did in Acts chapter 2, in that moment, he's been here a while. Let me back up a moment. He's been here from the beginning, so I'll come to this in a moment. I was really in Acts chapter 2, I'm talking about the outpouring on the church. But the Holy Spirit's been here. How many know the Holy Spirit moved on Elijah? Came on him. The Bible said it came on him, it quickened his mortal body. He outrun a horse and a chariot. Okay? He would have got the gold. So we're all kind of in an Olympic mode. And Betty told me this morning, who got the gold? Men's hockey. Yeah. Good for the gold. Go big A. Amen. I love America. Yeah. Yeah. So in John 16:13, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide believers into all truth, not speaking on his own authority, but sharing only what he hears from the Father. This is the same attitude that Jesus had. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Think about that. So here's two segments of the three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but they're such in harmony with God the Father, Jesus didn't just come to do his own thing. You know what kept him on the cross was the will of the Father. He came to do, by his own admission, I came to do, say it with me, the will of the Father. If you and I get into the mode where our life gets to the point where my attitude is, I want to do what God's will is. Every day, not just on Sunday morning, but every day. So, and how many know the Holy Spirit will help you do that? He is the force on planet Earth that helps us. He's the other helper. Jesus said, I'll send another helper. And he will not speak of himself or of his own authority, but he will share with you what God is speaking to him to speak to you. Whoa! How much more of a direct line can you get to heaven than that? Than the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus did that. That's the way he acted. And God, the Most High God, was revered and is revered that way in heaven. So Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. When they asked him, he said, how do we pray? We all know this. We're studying it on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been coming, you need to be here. It's great. But he said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, not a word we use every day. Just simply mean, God, you're righteous, you're holy, you're everything that has anything to do with righteousness and holiness. God, I revere you because who you are, you're my Father. Our Father who art in heaven, you righteous, holy, worthy of all praise and honor, God. That's really kind of what that means. Before I go on with everything else, let me just stop and say, God, I worship you and I recognize you as God, the Father, the high power, the high God, the name above every name, and I worship you. And I do all of that before I say, give me bread today. I do all of that before I say, oh God, fix this for me. I say, God, you're worthy. You alone are worthy. And there are beasts around the throne that cry, holy, 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 Lord God, the Bible says, day and night without ceasing, even in a place where there is no night. So as we understand it, in our sphere, that would be 24 hours a day. I assume that's what it is in heaven, but that's how we're structured, so that's how our mind goes to think. Nonstop, 24/7, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Come on, church. When we discover that, our relationship goes to another level. My God, who am I, David said, that you're mindful of me? I think about this little boy that's laying out in the field alone with a bunch of sheep and trying to keep the animals from eating the sheep, and he's laying out there under the stars. There's no city lights. It's just nothing but Milky Way, and he's going, my God, look at all of this. I'm overwhelmed. Who is man that you're mindful of? You did all of this, and yet you're thinking about me? This is the God we serve. This is the God that we worship every Sunday. This is the God that hung every star and named every star and knew you before you were in your mother's womb. My God. Woo! So, the Holy Spirit, I love what Marilyn, who came here and preached on it, Ellsworth, Brother Ellsworth. I don't know where he got this shoe. He had a tennis shoe this big, I swear. Was anybody else here that day when y'all were here? I never did ask him where he got the shoe. It was a tennis shoe this big. Like Michael Jordan maybe loaned it to him. I don't know. That guy's got some feet. And he preached on the Holy Spirit. And he said, I want you to look, because here's the hang up with the Holy Spirit, the language. But he said, there's so much more to this shoe than just the tongue. The devil has kicked the church to the curb on the topic of the speaking in tongues and created so much confusion in the body of Christ, and it really has nothing to... Here's all it has to do with. In a nutshell, here's all it has to do with. Go to the book of James and read how James says, the most unruly member in your body is not your sexual appetite. The most unruly member in your body is your tongue. God simply wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you a different prayer language for two specific reasons. One, it's evidence to people that are around you. They hear it and they know. Just like water baptism, when you are saved, then you're water baptized, you go underwater, come up. It is a public appearance to people that you're confessing your faith before people in Christ, and I'm proving it by being baptized in water. So that's all the Holy Spirit is. God wants control of the last thing, the last member of your body that you will not surrender, and it's your mouth. Oh, I knew it'd get quiet. But that's okay. You need to know that. That's all that's about. It's a prayer language. Yes. It's a line of communication that no devil can interpret. But it's primarily to get you to send the white flag up and say, God, I surrender all, and that includes my tongue. Thank you for those two or three amens. So the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. And you cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. He's the one that convicts you. He's the one that sets you, that speaks to you in a service. And convinces you, or tries to convince you, that you need Jesus. That you just need to come forward and say, you know, I need this Jesus that you're talking about. And it's not about coming down here, because you can get saved back there. But there's something about acknowledging God. There's something about not being ashamed of the Lord. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father. So it's something about publicly coming and saying, you know what, I need this Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit will take you by the hand and lead you into the throne room of God Almighty, where Jesus is seated. And after he has introduced you to Jesus and you accept him as your Savior, someone up there will write a name, a new name that belongs to you and you alone, and they will write that in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you have been logged in, as the saying goes. And somebody has recorded your name, and now you're a member of what Paul describes as the household of faith. From every generation, from the first to the last, all those that have believed in the Lord, this is what John saw marching into heaven. All of those saints of God, you and I are included in that. Amen. So, and angels rejoice, by the way, over one sinner greatly. I want to talk about two kinds of baptism today, water baptism and Holy Ghost and fire baptism. And people say, well, you know, I thought I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Do you mean I get more of him later on, or do I? Well, let me try to describe it like this, because here's where the confusion comes in. You did get the Holy Spirit when you got saved. That's what regenerates us. The old man moves out, so to speak, and the new man moves in because he's regenerated in Christ. So we've already established that the Holy Spirit is a person. You can't divide him. I can't divide Pastor Kenny. He's one guy. But he can do more than one thing. Just like you can do more than one thing. The Holy Spirit can do more than one thing. He's a multitasker and then some. Amen? So you do receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. And it is salvation, and the baptism, that the water baptism that follows that, as I just mentioned, is an outward expression of you saying, I've accepted Christ. And so if we had a baptismal tank here this morning, we were doing that, all of you all would witness that, whoever was getting in the water, saying, not look at me for any credit, I'm just doing this publicly so you know that I've confessed my sins, and I'm doing it by faith. I'm being buried in death with him and resurrected out of the water, a new creation. It is a symbolism of being cleansed. It's not the water that saves you. It's not the baptism that saves you. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses you, but it is an outward physical thing. And, you know, Jesus said we ought to do it, so let's do it. Amen? But it doesn't save you, and I think the thief story on the cross proves that. Amen? You still with me? So it's not the water baptism that saves you. It's just simply, Lord, would you remember me when you enter your kingdom? Done. Call upon the name of the Lord. Not go get baptized. No, call upon the name of the Lord. And then all through the Bible, through the New Testament, where I don't want to take time to do all that, but everybody, the Ethiopian that Philip ministered to, he talked to him and led him to the Lord, and then he said, well, here's water. What keeps me from being baptized? So they got in this mud hole or this pond or whatever it is, and he baptized the guy. He accepted Christ. Philip baptized him. The Holy Spirit took him somewhere else. The Ethiopian went on, and there's 1,000 examples just like that. So water baptism is what we're talking about first. And you don't just get part of the Holy Spirit, but there's another experience with the Holy Spirit, and that's what I want to talk about. So John the Baptist, the Bible said, was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb when he was in the sixth month. I looked that up. Excuse me. And I looked up fetuses that are 6 months in the womb. And there's 3 months left, but they can live at that. I think they said that's 24 or 26 weeks, somewhere in there. Somebody that's better at math could tell me, but something like that. And so if a baby was born at 6 months, its survival rate is over 60% now because of technology and all the things we have. But at 6 months in the womb, the baby can hear. Its hearing is fully developed. It not only hears its mother's, all the sounds in her body, blood pumping and digestion and her heartbeat, but it can recognize her voice, and it recognizes other voices outside the womb and music. Now that's interesting. And it can react to music or being startled, and it will move and leap. When Mary goes to Elizabeth's house, the Bible said Elizabeth is in her 6th month of this pregnancy with who we know as John the Baptist. Mary begins to describe to her the experience that she had with the angel Gabriel, and when she got to the part that the angel said, and his name shall be called Jesus. Now, that name moves me. And it moves heaven and hell when you call on it. When John the Baptist in the womb heard the name Jesus, the Bible said he leapt and was filled with the Holy Spirit. as was prophesied about him. How can that be possible? I don't know. But let me share this scripture with you that will help us understand who God is a little better. I'm in Job 26, and this is out of the New King James. He stretches out over the north empty space and hangs the earth on nothing. What's he hang the earth on? Nothing. Here it is in the Amplified. He it is who spreads out the northern skies over emptiness and hangs the earth upon or over nothing. Get this. There's nothing under the earth. There's not an umbilical cord that's hanging from. It's at 23.5 degrees currently, and it rotates there, and it rotates on its axis, and it stays there. Scientists can try to explain to you why it stays there, but it really isn't a valid explanation. But I can explain it to you. It is simply God's word that holds it in place. God saw that it was good, and he said it's all right, and there it is, and we're still here. On the same earth that God created way back in Genesis chapter 1. So I think to myself, well, if God could do that, then filling a baby with the Holy Spirit in the womb shouldn't be much of an issue. Hello. So God saw it, and he said it was good, and the earth is still there. And when John the Baptist heard the name Jesus, he leaped in his mother's womb. And the Bible said Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. My gosh. And when his dad came out and spoke his name after his speech returned, and he decided he would listen to what God had to say, and he said his name's going to be John, the Bible said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is before the cross. This is before John has ever baptized one person. Listen, we try to figure out God exactly. We've got all of our theological noise, I like to call it, and there's people who love to argue and debate. Let me tell you something. Could I say this morning that God is sovereign? He can do whatever he wants to do. He didn't have to wait for the cross of Calvary. He did it before the cross of Calvary. Jesus healed people before he was beaten to heal people. Are you hearing me today? He's God. That's what I'm trying to say. He's God. There's none like him. The word says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none like me. So I'm not going to try to put a timeline on God. Well, you can't do, no, God, you can do whatever you want to do when you want to do it because you're God Almighty. Our Father who art in heaven, we worship your holiness and your righteousness because you're God. I'm breathing today because he's a God of mercy and a God of grace. I should have been dead. But I'm not dead. Why? Two reasons. God is merciful. He's full of grace. Three reasons. And I still have a job to do. When that's gone, I'm gone. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 40. Y'all still with me this morning? Isaiah chapter 40, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. A prophetic, this is also in Malachi, a prophetic word of the coming of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming, and there's one coming ahead of him that is going to be the forerunner, that is going to announce his coming. He's going to preach the gospel, and he will come in the spirit of Elijah. Now, what does that mean? There's been a lot of people try to say that he was Elijah reincarnated. Of course, that's ridiculous because we don't believe in reincarnation. When you're dead, you're dead. But unless God raises you up, then I guess that would be resurrection, not really reincarnation. But anyway, he's like Elijah because he's a loner. Elijah was a loner. Elisha, the man that followed Elijah, was a man of the people. He was around people all the time and in the public and in front of kings, but not Elijah. He was out by himself. He was brutally, brutally straightforward. He told Jezebel, you know what? You can do what you want to do, but the dogs will lick your blood up, and I'll tell you when they're going to do it. And that's exactly what happened. She died. Her blood spilled out in the street, and dogs ran in and licked her blood up. And so John the Baptist came in that same spirit. We're going to read about it here in a few moments. Matter of fact, let's do it now. Matthew chapter 3, in the first 9 verses, it says, "In those days," I think this is New King James, "in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness,'" this is just what we read in Isaiah, "'prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey." Yummy, yummy. I could do the honey. I'm not sure about the locust. But my dad said when he came out of World War II, he said, "Don't ever say you won't eat something. You get hungry enough, you'll be surprised what you'll eat." Some of the prison camps they liberated, there wasn't a blade of grass as far as a man could reach outside the fence. He said, "Don't ever say what you will or won't eat." Could I say to you this morning, we're blessed in this nation? Amen. Could I say when you sit down at lunch today, the blessing should have a different meaning to you? Oh God, I do thank you for this food. This is not a little ritual I'm going through. I thank you for this. Take a trip to Haiti. Take a trip to any South American country. A lot of them, and some of them are hungry. A lot of them are hungry. So, locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around Jordan went out and were baptized by him in the Jordan. Now, how many knows that's water baptism? If you believe that, say amen. Because he's baptizing them in the Jordan. Marilyn and I were so fortunate and blessed to be able to do that ourselves. We were the only pastors on that trip, and they asked us if we would baptize everybody on that trip, and we gladly did that. We're baptized ourselves in the Jordan River, and it was an incredible experience, I'm telling you. Just thank God for things like that, amen. So, but they went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And he was preaching about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, that all of Israel had been looking for. They had been looking. This is why, let me just take a moment here. This is why they came out to see him. They actually thought, well, maybe this is the Messiah that's come. Maybe this is the one. Because, you know, listen, then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around Jordan went out to see what's going on. I'd say he had a crowd. And he's preaching to them about the one that's coming. And so, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, here's that spirit of Elijah, you brood of vipers. You know, I get a little rough sometimes on Sunday, but I've never said that to you. Go ahead and say amen, Pastor. Who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. So get over your arrogance, in other words. Because the Jews, even today, are arrogant. They think they're the only thing going because of their covenant relationship with God. I'm talking about Orthodox Jews, and they're just a little bit arrogant. We ran into some in Israel and say, they don't even want to speak to you because you're a Gentile. And we ran into two brothers from New York. These guys were amazing. They could play shofars two at a time, play Amazing Grace two at a time. It's like I can't even hardly get one of them to blow. You know, it's not a horn player, but I'm just telling you, it's kind of a trick. These guys were Jews from New York City ministering to Jews on the street. And he said, you know what? He was telling us, and he wasn't being nasty about it, but he said, you guys, unless God really does something for you as Gentile, you can't be effective reaching these people because of all the Jews that have been killed in the name of Christianity. And so, you know, when you say I'm a Christian, they're like, whew. Time out, let me get away from you. But they were winning people on the street. and talking about their experience. So that was part of John's message, but if you drop down to verse 11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. There's two different scenarios. Same Spirit, two different events. And so, and I'm really not trying to pound a point here this morning. I just want us to be open to the Word of God. When I teach on tithing, and I haven't for a long time, I teach the same way on tithing. I don't get up, well, you got to do it. I don't get up and do that. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says about it. You have to make a decision. Here's what the Bible says about it. Here's what the Bible says about water baptism. Here's what the Bible says about spirit baptism. And you just have to make a decision. And you know, thankfully for all of us, here's this scripture. Seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nobody judges you. You're saved. We're thrilled. Come on, church. If you're saved, we're thrilled. I said, if you're saved, we're thrilled, aren't we? Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the bottom line for anybody. So, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And by the way, both of these things can happen simultaneously. You can come to accept Christ and accept Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. All this, same thing, same, just one big download. And, you know, we see that when Peter went to the house of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was ramped up and ready to go, but when he went to the house of Cornelius, Peter is preaching. And he goes back to Jerusalem, and thank God there was like six other guys with him. They would have never believed Peter. He just wouldn't have had a chance. Because he wasn't even supposed to be in this guy's house, because he's a Jew and this is a Gentile, and they're still hung up on all this junk that Paul tries to get broke off of them, and he does some of them, but some of them just can't let it go. But he said, let me tell you what happened. I'm preaching. The house is full. The Holy Spirit fell on him like it fell on us in the beginning. And if you read that, I think it's in Acts 10 maybe, I can't remember for sure. But if you read that, it says that Cornelius and his family received, and they received the Holy Spirit too, and began to speak in tongues. And so Peter and these other six guys, and if Peter hadn't had the vision, he might have really had a hang up. But I still think, in my mind's eye, just from studying Peter, I still think Peter went down the road back to Jerusalem shaking his head like, what is this? But God spoke to him in such a way that he said, he's no respecter of persons. Peter said, I perceive, I'm understanding now in my spirit that this Jesus that we walked with is so full of grace, so full of mercy, that he's not hung up on the stuff we're hung up on. Could I say that again? He's not hung up on the stuff that we're hung up on. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live happily ever after, as the old saying goes. And he's preparing a mansion for every one of us. And when the Lord sounds the trumpet, or you go by the way of the grave, we're going to be in the paradise of God forever and ever and ever. Thank God. I thought that would make you shout a little. So it can happen simultaneously. And so we're talking about water baptism and then Holy Ghost and fire baptism. So the Holy Spirit is so much more than just the person that gives you a different language or a prayer language. He's the one that brings you into a relationship with God and breaks the yoke. Breaks the yoke. He's the one that sets you free from the straitjacket of your mind. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. The Holy Spirit dropped that phrase in my heart the other night, because there are people, their mind is in a straitjacket. And they put crazy people, or people out of control, I should say, maybe, in straitjackets. I'm not crazy. I'm sure that's debatable. I'm not crazy. But if you put me in one of those, I'd be crazy in about 20 minutes. But if you look at that thing, and we've all seen them, and there is no, Houdini, I think, is the only guy that ever got out of one of those, and he had to dislocate his shoulder to do it. He would hang upside down from a crane and get out of that thing in public, but he dislocated his shoulder to do it. But so many people walk around. I'm talking about people that know Jesus. They know Jesus. And their mind is in a straitjacket. They can't get over their self. It's not so much other people. They just can't get over their self. Pastor Kenny, read that Romans 8 and 2 for me, if you would, please. This is not up there, but Romans 8 and 2. If we will walk in that, it will free your mind. Because family will tie your mind up. Finances will tie your mind up. People in church will tie your mind up. Things that you don't think are right will tie your mind up. And the next thing you know, your mind is in a straitjacket and you can't get out of it. And the devil has brought you into that trap and has got you wrapped up where you can't be free in the spirit to worship God. Read that Galatians scripture, please. Chapter 5. Did y'all hear that? Don't be entangled again. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit will do. You might have an attitude as well. You know, I just can't. I was abused. I've been hurt in church. I've been hurt by family. I don't want to sound like a smart aleck right here, but who hasn't? Who hasn't? All those things. Who hasn't? Who hasn't been hurt? If I wanted to live in a pity party, if you wanted to live in a pity party, we sure could. I came by this morning to say that the Holy Spirit will break that off of you. Whew. He will come in and ever so gently untie the strings of that straitjacket and set you free and take it off of you. And He will clothe you with Himself, like He did the 120 in the upper room. That word endued means to be clothed upon. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will be in you and on you. And I love that about Him. So all of these things that you can't do, and all of these things you have been through, and all of this hurt, and all of these things, could we just let God have it? Could we just say, you know what, I'm going to use this coat for an example. I got that mic hooked up to me, so bear with me. And I'm going to say, this is all the crud that I just mentioned. And I'm going to take that off. And I'm going to not hang it back in the closet. I'm going to throw it in the trash. Or better yet, I got an idea. I'm not even going to bother throwing it away because the devil will dig it out of the trash. But if I lay it on the altar where he doesn't have a right to go, whew, when I walk into the throne room and say, God, you can have this thing, I'm wore out with it. I'm tired of it. I want to walk in victory. I want to have joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. So God, take this stuff. Take it. I no longer want it. I have no need of it, and I no longer want it. So He'll take you into the throne of grace where Paul says you can obtain mercy. You can obtain grace. Amen. You can receive acceptance. You can have peace. You can have joy. You can have victory, and you can have help in time of trouble. So, you know, I'm not going to even pretend to stand up here and say that if you get rid of all that, something's not going to come back and try to hurt your feelings. Because Satan's always going to try to hurt your feelings. He's going to use people to do that. He's going to use people to do that. He'll use your family. You're trying to do everything you can to help somebody, and it just turns around and just like somebody set off a half a stick of dynamite. That's all right. Just have some grace. Let's learn to walk in grace. All of these things happen through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and there's the reason that John said this, and I'll read this again. I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why the fire? Because God's a consuming fire. Fire purges. Fire burns stuff out of your life. And so it brings you into a place of sanctification. So in a lot of circles, the preaching of the fire is gone. It's gone. And the only thing you get is a smoke machine. And I'm not critical of that. I'm not criticizing them. They're responsible for that, not me. Either way, up or down, left or right, they're responsible. That's on them. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't even speak to that. I just know I have to live my life in such a way and do what God's called me to do and walk upright before Him, stay full of the Holy Spirit, stay sweet, and there's times it's hard for me to stay sweet. Just being honest with you. I don't need a lot of help back there. Yeah. How many know it's just hard to stay sweet sometimes? When the phone rings and this, it's just hard to stay sweet. But you know what? I signed up for this, and God, you're with me. And sometimes I don't feel like you're with me, but I know you're with me because your word says you're with me. And sometimes I'm not feeling like you're with me, but I know you're with me, and I just keep telling myself that. And I keep saying, devil, you liar. These are God's people, every last one of them. And God has placed Marilyn and I here to shepherd, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Amen. We're going to bless people. We're going to bless people, and we're going to love people, and we're going to love them no matter, just like they love us, because you know what? There's not probably anybody who has any more faults than I do, and or Marilyn, you know, for that matter. And anyway, I didn't mean that the way it came out, but whatever. But the Holy Spirit, and I'll talk a little bit more about this next week, is a restrainer. He's a restrainer. And he will restrain the enemy. I'm not saying you won't go through temptation. You absolutely are going to. Jesus said in this world you will have tribulation. But don't sweat it. I've overcome the world. Oh, if I could get a hold of that. Every time I run into something, Pastor Kenny. Every time I run into something, if I could just go back and get a hold. Hang on a minute, remember. You're going to have tribulation, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. And whatever your scenario is that you're going through may not work out the way you wanted it to work out. It may not work out like you thought it would work out. It may not work out like you just really, oh God, please, I want it to go this way. It may not work out that way. But let the Holy Spirit take you out, take the straitjacket off of your mind and get open with God and say, God, you know what? Nevertheless, your will be done. Jesus prayed, and let me just put it in today's language. Fix this thing, Meryl or Christy. In today's language, and said, Father, if it's possible, let me just say it like this. If there's any other way to do this, even though from the foundations of the earth they knew this, and Jesus came, and now the hour has come to die because he's flesh. and he doesn't want to die, and his spirit knows every sin will be piled on him. He's the scapegoat. Every filthy, vile thing you can imagine and can't imagine is placed on him, and the knife will be laid to his throat as a sacrificial lamb, if you will. He knows it. So he says, if there's any way out of this, could we do it somehow else? God doesn't answer him. God doesn't speak to him. Jesus just went on to say, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he went all the way to Calvary because it was the will of the Father. And when he got to heaven, he did exactly what he said he would do. And he asked the Father, prayed to him, and said, would you send the Holy Spirit back? And he sent the Holy Spirit back. And here we are today, all these 2,000 years or something later, and the Holy Spirit is with us. He's in us and on us, and we can live victorious. Look this way for a moment. Don't let the devil tell you you can't live in victory, because you can. God's Word says you can. You have to decide you're going to want to do that. You have to decide you want to do it. Amen. Stand, please. I want to remind you about the demoniac who was so demon-possessed that absolutely no human being could handle this guy. Somehow or another, had to be a bunch of them, got chains on him. They had chains hanging all over. He'd break them chains. He was Superman under that demonic control. Nobody could live out among the dead in the tombs. Just had a horrible bunch of demons in him. But when Jesus showed up one day, the Bible said he ran and fell at his feet. Oh, and Jesus set him free. He begged the Lord, let me go with you, sir. No, Jesus said, you need to stay right here and go back and tell these people what I've done for you and what God has done for you. And so he did. And he became an evangelist. So I don't care how down and out you are or how bad you think you are. Don't tell me God can't use you. God saved this guy, delivered him, and turned him into instant evangelist. Instant evangelist. We don't have any record of what happened to him after that, how many people got saved, but I believe there were people that got saved. Because they went back and they said, this can't be the same guy. And he said, I am the same God. Let me tell you who I've run into. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. If God could do that for that man, what do you think he could do for you this morning? You're not full of the devil. But you may have a battle in your mind that you can't get the straitjacket off of. You may have a battle going on that you feel like, my God, I can't get through this. I've got to have some help. Well, the Holy Spirit's here to help you. Go ahead. So if you need prayer, come.